Amen. Well, I'm glad to see you all here tonight. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. How many have notes tonight? You have notes? Everybody have notes in your hands? If not, if you'll raise your hand, we'll be able to get some notes to you. I want to encourage you. We have these flyers out in the foyer, and they're for Vacation Bible School. I want to continue to encourage you to take these flyers, and perhaps you see some young folks on your street that would be able to come out to this Vacation Bible School. It's ages 4 through 15. The dates are on here, and for those who are digitally savvy, they can scan this QR code and go ahead and pre-register for Vacation Bible School before it gets here. It's June 14th through the 18th, and we're so thankful about that time that we're able to invest in those young people for Vacation Bible School. And so if you've got your Bibles there, and if you already have the notes, we're in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to be looking at another facet of growing in the Christian life. It's listed here in this second epistle that Peter penned down. And so we're going to get into the notes here in just a moment. But in this list given by Peter, really what we have for ourselves is it's spelled out for us the particular areas for you and I to grow in the Christian life. And I'm so thankful for that. Each of these areas, as Peter says here in this epistle, are to be added to our faith. And not only are they to be added, but Peter makes sure we understand this, we are to abound in these areas. The word abound, it means simply this, to increase. As we stated previously, these areas really are given to us through the penman Peter, but really they're given to us by God to be a help to us, to be a benefit to us, that we can recognize these things in our lives as the Lord Jesus compels us forward in our life with Him. And so the first area we mentioned is this area of virtue. Remember, virtue is simply this: courageously doing what is right. And we're not talking about the world's standards. We're talking about what God says is right. And so we courageously make right choices. That's the virtuous life. And so we had noted this, that virtue has to do with moral excellence. It has to do with courageously doing what's right according to God's rule. The next area that is mentioned by the Holy Spirit using the penman Peter is this area of knowledge. Knowledge. And so this area of knowledge is not just any knowledge, but it is knowledge in connection with God Himself. We are to be growing in our knowledge of God. In fact, you'll see the verse there in your notes, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10, if you look at it with me. It says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? In the knowledge of God. You know, as we grow in the Lord, here's the truth, our knowledge of God should increase. You might think this at first glance that, listen, this matter of theology, the study of God, this matter of Christology, the study of Christ, or pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit, you might be thinking this, why do I need to know more and more about God? I think we're going to study that here in just a moment, and you'll see how important this is. But can I submit to you this, is that the greater your knowledge of God is, the more triumphant you'll be in living the Christian life. There's a connection there, and I want you to see it tonight. So let's look here, beginning in verse number 3. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, if you'll follow along with me in your Bible, it says this, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him which hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and then to virtue what? Knowledge. And so let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you help us to understand how important this area of knowledge is, and not just gaining up knowledge, but really the application of knowledge, which results in wisdom in the Christian life. Father, help us to know you more each and every day. Help us to understand who you are. Help us to understand how good you are. Help us to understand how you work and how you move in our lives and in this world. And Father, with that knowledge, Lord, I pray we would triumphantly live the Christian life. Father, I pray if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, that they would understand that. Father, I pray for the ministry of thy Spirit, thy presence in this place. Lord, that it be revealed to them the great need for salvation. And Father, I pray, Lord, for the Christians that are here tonight that would be exhorted unto good works. Help us, Father, to connect this idea of courageous living has to be connected to knowledge. And Lord, help us to see that from the Scriptures. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. So I want you to realize that God has designed our earthly relationships, specifically our family relationships, our familial relationships, to help us to understand what it means to be a part of the family of God. And sometimes we get that switched around the other way. We think that, our earthly family relationships are the end of it all, and that our spiritual relationships are somehow of a lesser extent. But can I tell you that, listen, you're going to live a whole lot longer as part of the family of God than identifying in these familial earthly relationships that we deal with right now. In fact, we're going to be all of eternity in the presence of God, part of the family of God. And so these earthly relationships that we have are not diminished. They're not unimportant, but they should cause us to be able to identify and understand even with greater understanding these eternal relationships that we have as part of the family of God. Think about this. When the Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, he says, here's how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. And immediately when all of us say the word Father, we immediately in our minds perhaps think about an earthly relationship of our Father. And we can identify with that earthly relationship. Because of our earthly relationships, we can understand in part, at least on the surface, what it means by spiritual birth to be part of the family of God. We're born into the family of God by the operation of the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Ephesians, we're told further that our marriage relationship, it pictures what? Christ and the church. And so how amazing is that, that the earthly marriage relationship is, we're to identify this matter of Christ and the church in our marriage relationship. And in thinking of both of those parallel relationships, we think about being part of the family of God, we think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we think about these natural relationships as well. Doesn't it make sense that we're to increase in knowledge of our family? Doesn't it make sense that we should know our family better and better the more time we spend with our family? And so it would be perfectly natural for me to know my spouse, Shannon, even more the longer I've been married to her. And can I tell you, I've learned a whole lot. There's a whole lot of things that are still mystery to me about my dear wife, but you know what? I know a whole lot about my wife, and I know more today than I did when we first got married. Just have her tell the story about the last bite sometime, and she can share that with you, that story about that, because I just didn't know. But I've learned, and she knows me, and I know her, and we know different things about each other, and that's perfectly normal, isn't it? Just as we walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing according to Colossians 1:10, in the normal Christian life, we ought to also increase in our knowledge of Him. I'm telling you, there's never a point where you're sitting still in the Christian life. There's never a point where you're sitting still. You're either increasing or you're either getting closer to the Lord or you're getting farther away from the Lord in the Christian life. And so I just submit to you this tonight, that you cannot courageously do what's right without increasing in your knowledge of Him. So we should not be interested, in just a to-do list for the Christian life. And I hope I've made it abundantly clear. I am not interested in empty religion. And I pray you're not interested in empty religion as well. But rather, we should be interested in this, a deeper and deeper fellowship with the Lord. Now, as a married couple knows their spouse more and more, guess what? They become more like each other. Have you ever noticed that? The more you're with your spouse and the more you're around each other, the more you become like each other. In fact, you may come to the place where you can complete each other's sentences. How many have experienced that in a marriage relationship where you can finish each other's sentences a little bit? Listen, as you've been with your spouse a long amount of time, you can actually do this. You can articulate to others what your spouse's likes and dislikes are. You can even, as time goes on, you can even make right choices in accordance with that knowledge as to what they would like and not like. Like, for instance, when we go out to eat, I know my wife and I, we're going to get water to drink. That's just what we do. We drink water with our meal. And so I could order that water even if she's not sitting there, because I know her. Why? Because we've been around each other for a certain amount of time. And can I tell you this? It should be the same way with a child of God. Think of that. We ought not to just know the do's and don'ts of the Christian life, although we need to know those, right? We need to know what God wants us to do and what He doesn't want us to do. But listen, we ought to know the Savior in such a way that we know Him and we know His ways. And so we might not know all the details, but we know how our Savior is. And then with that knowledge, guess what? We can distinguish right ways and wrong ways. We can know Him better from His Word. We can know how He acts. We can know the things He does. We can know how He deals with man. And these kinds of things are recorded for us in the Scriptures. You know this, the Bible is the Christian's roadmap. The Bible is the Christian's rule book. The Bible is the Christian's instruction manual. It's our guide to life. And therefore, you and I, we must have a love, we must learn, we must listen to, and we must lean on the Word of God, not just every Sunday, but every day. And so if you've got your notes there, I want you to write in the first blank. You ready for it? The Christian's counsel. The Christian's counsel. Our deeper knowledge of the Lord and His ways comes from the Bible. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. As we look in the Bible, we come to understand that everything God has recorded for us is there for a purpose. Listen, all those genealogies, God put them there for a purpose. The numberings, I just came through the book of Numbers, the first several chapters deal with numbering the nation of Israel. And you might be thinking, what in the world? I got to read all of these numbers. And listen, God has a purpose in recording that for us. In fact, we know the verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it is God-breathed and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then it goes on and says that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so the word Scripture means this, that which is recorded. That which is recorded. So that's what the word Scripture means. And it's given by inspiration of God, meaning it is God's Word, and therefore it is profitable. You know, the truth of the matter is, I'd like to think everything I ever tell you would be profitable, but I'm here to tell you not everything I tell you is going to be profitable. But I can say this without a doubt, that everything in this book is profitable for you and I. Why? Because it's not my words, It's His Word. And so it's further necessary that you and I, when we approach the Word of God, and I know this was dealt with in Sunday school class, Bible study groups, we have to approach this book with the right belief about what we're reading. Paul mentioned this as a commendation to the church in Thessalonica. Here's what he said about the Thessalonians. He said, "For this cause also we thank God," in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "without ceasing, because when you receive," listen carefully, "when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And so if you've ever talked to someone at any length of time who's lost, who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, here's what you'll discover is oftentimes those who are lost in sins and trespasses, they're separated from God, here's what they'll call into question. They'll be very quick to say, "This is a book that's written by men." They'll discount the validity of the Scriptures, saying this is the Word of God. And there's a simple reason for that, because if they say this is the Word of God and they believe what's in this book, then therefore it would mean that they're accountable to God and that they need a Savior. And so they're very quick to discount the Word of God. But listen, when we come to this book, we must understand, even as a child of God, that this is not the words of men. This is the Word of God. And so the kind of thinking can actually creep into our minds as well, that this is pinned down by men, so therefore maybe it's got error in it or something like that. We must wholly reject that idea. And when we come to the Scriptures, we must understand that this book is God's Word. And listen, I'm going to tell you, it matters everything in the world how you approach this book. If you approach this book with reverence and awe as to what it is, which is the Word of God, it'll affect you. If you approach this book as it's just the Word of men, I'm telling you, you're going to be missing the boat. And so we must understand that this is the Word of God. And so as we abound in knowledge, here's where the rubber meets the road. As we abound in knowledge, increase in knowledge, it's not just so that you can win the adult versus young people sword drill night, Sam. It's not just so you can wait the table in their favor and win for them. It's not just so you can get to the book of the Bible the fastest. It's not so you can answer Bible trivia better than anybody else. And I'm all glad for that if you've got a bunch of knowledge. But listen, that knowledge must translate to virtue. You see the connection? In other words, the application of that knowledge becomes wisdom, and it challenges us to courageously do what's right. And so not only do we have the Christian's counsel, but that brings us to the second item of business, which is the Christian's choice. You know, when I trusted Christ as my Savior as a young person, I had this weird idea that all of a sudden everything was going to just be perfect. I thought, this is the end of the road, right? This is the end of the road. Boy, that's, as they say, a wooden nickel, I'll tell you that. Here's what you discover when you receive Christ as your Savior. That's just the beginning. And the more you become Christ-like, really the more opposition you're going to face from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the Christian's course, the choices, child of God, are ever before you. Do you realize this? You're going to have to wake up tomorrow and make a conscious choice to open up this book. How many realize this? It doesn't happen automatically. How many understand this? You're going to have to make a choice to bend your heart and bend your knee and pray. How many realize that doesn't come automatically? How many realize this? To courageously do right just doesn't come automatically. You have to make a will choice to say yes to the Lord and no to the flesh or no to the devil or no to the world. See, this is the Christian's course. And friend, you're going to be a sum total. Listen, you're going to be a sum total of the choices that you make. You can't pin the tail on any other donkey other than that. the sum total of the choices that you make. And so we have a choice to obey the Word of God, or we could choose this, not to listen to the counsel of God. We have that choice every day, and it's always before us. We can take heed to the Scriptures and live by them, the kind of life that God has designed for us, or we can say this, I'm not going to add to my faith knowledge. I'm not going to add to my faith knowledge through His Word and obedience. And guess what? Here's what I'm going to tell about you. You're going to discover the validity of the Scriptures by experience. You say, what do you know? What do you mean? Did you know this, that you can understand the dangers of alcohol without ever being drunk by reading the Scriptures? In other words, it doesn't have to be that you understand that by experience, the dangers of alcohol, because it does things in your life and makes things a ruin. You don't have to go down that road of experience to figure that out. You can find that out in the Word of God without ever having experienced it by obeying the Scriptures. See, God desires for us not to be ruined by sin. Aren't you glad for that? But He wants us to be victorious by trusting Him and listening to Him. And so there are so many dangers that God specifically outlines for us in the Christian life that we don't have to have experiential knowledge of. We just need to trust the Lord for what He said and be obedient to Him. And so we can, by this word faith, which is trust, obedience, trust in the Lord, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, we can, by faith, just believe what God has given concerning those things. And so it does not have to be that a Christian experiences severe chastening constantly to learn how to do well. I am interested all the time in families. Oftentimes in families you have multiple children. And what's been interesting to my wife and I over the years, we have some dear friends that have multiple children. You know this, that the children are always different. They're always different. And what's very interesting to me, sometimes there'll be a child, it seemed like, man, this child is the most obedient, most well-behaved, most mannerly child I've ever seen in my entire life. And then the next one comes along, and boy, that second child's a wild child. Boy, they're into everything. They're complete opposites. And listen, you and I do not have to travel down the path of, let's say, that wild child to figure out the right way to go. We have the Word of God. And so here's your blank. So you can choose the path of obedience, or option number two, you can choose the path of experience. Now, I realize that as we say yes to God, we gain experience in a positive sense. But what they're referring to here, is learning in a bad way, experiential knowledge in a bad way. And so this shouldn't surprise any of us, especially as we understand that God's given us these earthly relationships to help us to understand these spiritual relationships, these eternal relationships. Think of the example of a child, and a child is eating hot food, and the mama tells the child, listen, you need to blow on that food before you put it into your mouth. And perhaps the steam's rising off of that thing. It's heated up to 1,000,000 degrees because that's what we do in the microwave. And boy, it's coming up. And the mother says, listen, child, you need to blow that off before you put it in your mouth. Now listen, that child has two choices. They can blow off the food and get it cool to the point that it doesn't burn them. And that's learning by obedience. Or they can learn by experience and put that thing in their mouth and burn the whole inside of their mouth. And when their tongue's burnt for the next day, they'll understand that, listen, when things are hot, I need to blow them off. Can I tell you, it's the same way with us, Christian? It is the very same way with us. And so God says, listen, this is the way you're to go. This is the path you're to take. And you can learn by obedience. Or guess what? As a heavenly Father who's would take care of us, by the way, even better than we would take care of our own children, as our heavenly Father, He'll let us learn a lot of times by experience. And so how often, here's the question, how often have we ignored our Father's word? How often have we suffered the consequences of error because we've said no to the Word of God, or we've said no to the directing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Each of these paths, by the way, yield instruction, but can I tell you one is more painful than the other? One's more painful than the other. And might I also say this, you and I have enough trials to deal with on our own, just living in a sin-cursed world, and we have enough temptations that we face living in a fallen world that we don't mean to make things even more difficult on ourselves. Listen, just say yes to the Lord. Go the way He wants you to go, and He'll do the work in your life to change you from the inside out. And so the question for us tonight is simply this, which course are you going to take? Which course are you going to take? You know, it's the most amazing thing in all the world in the work of the ministry. The paradox that every preacher faces and every teacher of the Word of God is how you capture someone's heart. How do you change someone's heart? The answer is you don't. God does. That's the answer. And how true it is. It's a mystery to me sometimes where you'll see folks running headlong in the wrong direction, and you're jumping up and down doing everything you can to warn that, hey, you're headed the wrong way, and yet they don't listen. And they suffer the consequences through experience. So it's far better to trust the Lord. It's far better to draw close to Him than to live in the danger of chastening correction. And so notice thirdly, you can write this down, the Christian's charge. The Christian's charge. So we have not only the Christian's counsel, we have the Christian's course, but now we have the Christian's charge. The Bible speaks much about the urgency for you and I to know God and to know His Word. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, therefore, as ye abound in everything, now notice the list, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in love for us, He says, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, what Paul is talking about here in this chapter, in the eighth chapter, this is the great chapter you'll hear at almost every missions conference, because it's talking about faith promise giving or grace giving concerning missions. And so Paul is speaking about the Christians in Corinth, that they needed to abound in this grace of giving. They need to be givers, just like the other churches in Macedonia. They were examples to the church at Corinth that, listen, you can abound in this matter of grace giving. And so Paul uses this example, but notice he lists these areas of Christian growth. He said you ought to abound in faith. You ought to abound in utterance. You ought to abound in knowledge. You ought to be abounding in diligence. You ought to be abounding in love. And then he says you ought to abound in this grace also. And so number one blank there, letter A, we are to abound in knowledge. Abound in knowledge. Just like what we find here in 2 Peter, knowledge of God and His Word is not an isolated area in the Christian life. It's not an isolated area in the Christian life. In order to add to your faith virtue, courageously doing right, you must also add knowledge. You know, it's clear that we must not only begin to possess these things, but we must increase in these things. There's never a stopping point. And listen, you're never going to get to the end of studying this book. You're never going to get to the end of delving into your knowledge of God and who He is. But notice in verse number 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, because I want you to see this. Peter says this, for if these things be in you and abound. Now, it's not just good enough for them to be in you. Notice he says, if they be in you and what? And abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. And so there's an important aspect to this. This isn't just because Pastor James is telling you, hey, you need to increase the knowledge. You need to know your Bible more. Listen, God is saying, look, if you want to be fruitful in the Christian life, if you want your Christian life to make a difference In this life, you're going to have to add to your faith knowledge. You're going to have to. It's not optional. So we're to abound in knowledge. That means increasing in what we know about God and His Word. Now, let me just say something about that. Do you realize today that we live in a day where we have more at our fingertips than any Christians in history to be able to access the Word of God? Think of it. We got commentary sets coming out our ears. I could dial up preachers from all over the world. Some of the best preaching you ever heard. I could dial it up instantly on my phone. We have so many resources. I got books and books and books, don't I? Books and books and even more books. She says, listen, you can't buy any more books till you read all the books you got. And I've just got so many in my study there, you know. And I like getting books, by the way, in case that's an indicator there. We have more at our fingertips than any Christian at any point in mankind's history ever, and yet we lack more knowledge than anybody else. Isn't that a paradox? Isn't that a strange thing? And so access is not the problem. Availability is the problem. And what I mean by that is this. Are you available to God? Are you available to God? So this will come, increasing in knowledge as you have a desire to know God and a desire to know His Word. My wife and I have a little saying. She probably, every time I say that, I know she's thinking in her heart, oh boy, what's he going to say? My wife and I have a saying. Here's what it is. People do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. You say, Pastor James, why isn't the whole church house filled on a Wednesday night? I'll tell you why. Because people do what they want to do. You say, why isn't the church house filled on Sunday? I'll tell you why. Because people do what they want to do. Now, I realize that some are sick. I realize some are providentially hindered, meaning something comes up in life. But I'll tell you, I've been around longer than a minute. And I'll tell you that people do exactly what they want to do. Let me illustrate it to you this way. In my study at my house, I have a picture there. It's a wonderful picture. It's of an older gentleman with a younger kid. And they're putting together a Wright model plane. You know what the Wright brothers plane looks like? You can picture it in your head. Here they are, an older man and a child, and they're putting together this little paper plane aircraft based on the pattern of the Wright brothers. You know it is that man put to their thought, man put to their heart, man put to their mind, I see the birds in the sky, I'm going to fly one day just like them. Now think of this. Who would ever imagine for men to be flying around in enclosed steel objects thousands of miles up into the air from place to place? Who would ever imagine that 1,000 years ago? Isn't that amazing? But you know what happened? A man said this, I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. He put his mind to it. And so can I tell you, if you put your mind to desire to know God and His Word, guess what you'll do? You'll get in this book. You'll spend time in the Word of God. Just like they're able to fly, just like they're able to do all kinds of it. And you can think of amazing things that people have accomplished. Why? Because they've set their mind and heart to go in that direction. And amazing things. Think about them just flying around the moon recently. I mean, amazing things. How were they able to do that? They decided that this is what we were going to do. And they put their mind to it. And friend, if you want to get a knowledge of God and His Word, it's not going to come by osmosis. I can tell you, you're going to have to put your mind to it. You're going to have to put your will towards that. So the question is, have you set your heart and mind to know God and His Word? Have you? And friend, you'll get knowledge or not get knowledge based on that answer. And so secondly, we're not only to abound, but we're to be filled with knowledge. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says this, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be, here it is, filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How many have ever said this? Boy, I want to know the will of God. Friend, can I tell you, if you don't get into that book, you're never going to know the will of God. Because you're not going to know God. You see, you want to know His will, you got to get in that book. And I'll just tell you another hint. Knowing the will of God comes from obeying what you already know. Friend, you take steps of faith, obeying what you already know, and God will reveal more to you. That's how it works. And so, experiential knowledge, to be filled with knowledge. This is a wonderful word picture for the Christian. We're to be full or to be filled with the knowledge of God and His will. How do you fill anything? How do you fill anything? Here's how. You add to it. You add to it. And so, if you're going to be filled, that means this. You have to fill your mind with the Word of God. Now, we fill our minds with all kinds of things, don't we? We take in a lot. We take in a lot, and God has designed us so we can see, so we can hear, so we can smell, so we can taste, so we can touch. And God has designed gates and entry points into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls, right? God has designed it that way, and guess what we use that for? To fill it with a whole lot of things. The question is, are we being filled with His knowledge of Him and His will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding? Or are we being filled with the ways of the world and the knowledge of that which is not holy? Now, I can't answer that question for you, but you know where you spend time with your eyes, your ears, your nose, and everything else. You know where you spend your efforts and where you spend your time, what you're looking at, and what you're allowing to go in. And so Paul earnestly desired for these Christians at Colossae that they be filled with the knowledge of God. Not only abound, but be filled. Then, number three, we're to be renewed in knowledge. We're to be renewed in knowledge. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man." Aren't you glad for that? As you put on the new man, when you became a child of God, when you received Christ as your Savior, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. How many like new things? Just be honest. I love new things. Matter of fact, new things are great. You get them for a time, and guess what happens over time? They're not new anymore, right? They begin to lose their luster after they're not new. Hey, guess what? The new man can be renewed in knowledge. Hey, it's like a freshness that God gives you from the Word of God. You want to be excited about the Christian life? Get into the book. Get into the Word of God. You want to be excited about things of the Lord? Get to know the Lord even more. You'll be renewed in knowledge. It's a wonderful thing. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. If you have been reading the Word of God for some time, you may be tempted to say this. How many ever said this? I already know this. I already heard this before. Here's the good news. You need to hear it again. That might be a true statement. We may know something, and that's great, but we must be renewed. Renewed, that means repeat. Repeat new, renewed in knowledge. So being renewed in knowledge means this, to constantly go back to the divine pattern of righteousness. You say, why does the preacher repeat himself and say the same things over and over again? Here's why. Because we need to be renewed in knowledge. And so being renewed in knowledge is constantly going back. It's a good thing for us to constantly go back and rejoice in eternal truth. Renewal is a necessary thing for the Christian. How does renewal take place? Here's how. By saturating your heart and mind with the Word of God. That's how renewal takes place. Now, we're greatly blessed to have so many things, so many ways to grow in the knowledge of God and His Word. I'm so thankful for that. I think I already said this, but we have so much accessibility at our fingertips as Christians than any other generation. And next week, I'm going to give you some things on how you can fill your heart and mind with some knowledge. Now, you've got the notes there. You bring them back next week. We're going to look at these things. Now, I know that list may seem basic, It may seem fundamental, but here's the truth. If we would just get the basics of the Christian life down, the simple things, the first things, we'd be a whole lot farther along in our Christian walk. It's just the first things, the simple things, the things that, quote unquote, we already know. If we just get those down in our heart and our life, we'd be so much farther along in following our Lord and Savior, being conformed to the image of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to...